Today's program features our former co-host, Ryan Dobson. Today on Family Talk.
The 64th National Day of Prayer, which occurred this past May 7th, was a powerful day of anointed speakers crying out for the future of our nation. So much has changed in American culture since the observance of the first National Day of Prayer in 1952. All around us, we see evil being called good and good being called evil. Yet, even in the face of that reality, we are reminded that there is hope for America. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Ryan, thank you for that introduction. And we're going to talk today about, as you said, the event that occurred last May the 7th in the Cannon House office building in Washington, D.C. My wife, Shirley, has been chairman of the National Day of Prayer for 24 and a half years. And she told the Lord in the beginning that she thought she could handle that responsibility for a couple of years. And it's now been a quarter of a century, and she's still at the helm, and I'm very proud of her. Mm-hmm. But what happened in Washington, D.C. that year was also reflected, I think, of what took place across the United States. There were 44,000 prayer events this year on the National Day of Prayer. Mm. These were individually organized and sponsored events. It was not one national event. It was a whole country of believers that were out there calling on the Lord and asking Him to bless our nation and save us from ourselves. The theme of this National Day of Prayer really resonated with all of us. It was, Lord, hear our cry. And I know there are people all across the country that were crying out to the Lord on that day. So Shirley and I were both there in Washington, D.C. She led it, and I was tag along, as I am every year, to support her. I had a few words to say, but it was Shirley and her team and John Bornstein, who is the vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer, who are responsible for the organization and what took place. So we want to take our listeners there back to Washington, D.C., and let you hear two speakers that came to the microphone. These were outstanding moments in that day. And the first voice you're going to hear is from Senate Chaplain Barry Black. Chaplain Black grew up in a single-parent home in the poorest section of Baltimore and went on to become a rear admiral in the Navy. He served for 27 years in the Chaplain's Corps. I know him personally. He's a godly man. In 2003, he was elected as chaplain to the Senate, and he credits his mother's prayers for his success. And now Chaplain Black exhorts us to make prayer as natural as breathing.
Well, Dad, let's get to the first part of this program. Here is Chaplain Barry Black on today's edition of Family Talk.
1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually or pray without ceasing. It was the tent maker from Tarsus's way of saying, make prayer as natural as breathing. I believe we have reached a point in our nation, as we, in the words of Robert Bork, slouch toward Gomorrah, that we need, as people of faith, to make prayer as natural as breathing. Most of you, not too long ago, watched Baltimore, Maryland descend into chaos following the funeral of Freddie Gray. This was very poignant for me because This was my neighborhood. The Mondawmin Mall, the liquor stores were all too familiar to me. So I was literally looking at my neighborhood burning. I found myself reflecting with tears in my eyes regarding why did I and my seven siblings in a single parent home manage to escape a generational cycle of poverty and pathology. And I concluded that it was because my mother made prayer as natural as breathing. Don't ask me how she did it, but her eight children matriculated in Christian schools from grade one all the way through graduate school. I don't know how. But she believed in the words of Isaiah 65, "Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." The enemy does not stand a chance. If we make prayer, why is that so important, Chaplain Black? I'm glad you asked that question. Make prayer as natural as breathing because it connects us to the power of God. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much." And then I love verse 17, Elijah was a human being like us, one man, and yet he shut up the heavens for 3.5 years because he made prayer as natural as breathing. We need more than ever before to be connected to the power of God. Elijah said, "God, show yourself strong. They are giving credit to other gods for the prosperity of the land, for the fertility of the land. Show yourself strong." It is time for us to make that cry. Make prayer as natural as breathing because it connects us to the intercession of God. During the fiscal cliff crisis, and we've had multiple ones on my watch, I reached a point where I stopped praying for the nation and asked the Holy Spirit to pray for the nation. Romans 8:26 says, "We don't know how to pray or what to pray for." Matthew 20, James and John came to Jesus and said, "We want to be your vice president and chief of staff when you make your move." That's what it says in the Greek. And you got to know these biblical languages, folk. And Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking for." We don't know what we're asking for. I said, "Lord, I don't know what to ask for, but you said in Romans 8:26, I don't know how to pray or what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit knows how to pray for me with groanings that cannot be uttered." And when I permitted him to intercede for our nation, things began to change and the stalemate was broken. We as people of faith need to make prayer as natural as breathing in order to connect ourselves with the intercession of the Holy Spirit and with the intercession of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to make intercession for us. And then finally, we need to connect ourselves We need to make prayer as natural as breathing in order to connect ourselves, beloved, to the healing of God. We need healing. We need healing in our land. Martin King once observed that Sunday morning divine worship is one of the most segregated hours of the week. He said that in the 1960s. We need healing in our land. And you know the verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, I'm not talking about everybody, just my folk, called by my name. And there is a name, you know. Y'all familiar with that name? There's a name that causes demons to tremble. Will humble themselves and pray. There it is, as natural as breathing. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. We must acknowledge our culpability in the pathology that exists in our land. Nehemiah cried out to God in chapter 1 of his book, God, we have sinned. Seek my face. The sovereign God of the universe, in this amazing conditional prophecy, says, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, bless his name. Forgive their sins and heal their land. From whence comes the healing? The healing is in the name. Isaiah 53, verse 5, with his stripes we are healed. That's why when I pray, I like to give God the courtesy of starting the conversation, and so I pray before an open Bible, Lectio Divina. I pray the scriptures. I've discovered that no matter where I move, I run into that mysterious thread in scarlet. In Genesis, they call him Shiloh. In Exodus, they call him the I Am. In Numbers, they call him the Star and Scepter. In Deuteronomy, they call him the Rock. In Joshua, they call him Captain of the Lord's Host. In Psalms, they call him the Great Shepherd. In Proverbs, they call him the Beloved. But I see him wherever I move. I heard Isaiah call him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Daniel said he's that fourth man that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Zechariah said he's the branch. Micah said he is the one whose going forth of old is from everlasting to everlasting. Malachi said he is the messenger of the covenant. Matthew said Savior. Mark said Son of Man. Luke said the great physician. John said the word made flesh. Acts said he is the one who will mobilize us to witness. Philippians says at his name every knee will bow. Or you can bow now or you can bow later, but you will bow. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. First Thessalonians says he is the one who will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hebrews says he's the great high priest, touched with the feelings of my infirmities, in all points tempted like me, yet without sin. And Jude says he's able to keep me from falling and present me without fault, without blemish before the presence of his glory with unspeakable ecstatic delight in triumphant joy and exaltation. And John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, exiled on a little island in the Aegean Sea by Domitian. I saw him high and lifted up. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is beginning. He is ending. I meet him every time I pray his word. I meet him every time I make prayer as natural as breathing. Now is the time for people of faith to rise up and harness prayer power. Now is the time for people of faith to acknowledge that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. Now is the time for people of faith to acknowledge that there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Make prayer as natural as breathing.
What a powerful reminder by Senate Chaplain Barry Black at the 2015 National Day of Prayer, that the enemy doesn't stand a chance when God's people connect to God's power. I love that. I love his alliteration of the names for God and for Jesus Christ. When we seek his face, we invite him to intercede for our nation and heal our land. And we need that so desperately in America. That's why the theme for the National Day of Prayer was, Lord, hear our cry. Now, Ryan, we have time for one more speaker. Introduce that person to us.
We do. He's also a powerful speaker. His name is Alex Kendrick, the director and co-writer of the box office smash hit War Room, number 2 in America. I've seen this movie with my wife, Laura. It is excellent. The Kendrick brothers have been making feature films since 2002, and in each film, they challenge viewers to change their lives and to honor God. Their most recent film is all about the power of prayer, and on this National Day of Prayer, Alex led the audience in interceding to God for our great nation. So let's hear that prayer now, here on Family Talk.
Our Father in heaven, we come before you today acknowledging you as Creator. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who established your chosen people and through whom you gave your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You established the promised land of Israel and demonstrated time and time again that if your people sought you, worshiped you, and obeyed you, that you would bless them with guidance, provision, and protection, but that if they turned away, you would remove your hand and allow judgment. Lord, we also acknowledge that just as Israel was dedicated to you at its founding, that another country years later would also seek your blessing and dedicate themselves and their land to you. The first president of these United States of America on the day of his inauguration sought your hand, your guidance, and your blessing on our new country. And the people prayed and celebrated in agreement. In the following years, Lord, you did more for us than we deserved. You blessed us with military strength. You blessed us with economic strength, with inventions, medical discoveries, academic achievement, and national prosperity. You lifted us up to lead the world as we proclaim that our blessings came from you and that in God we trust. Our Constitution acknowledges you as our Creator, and our founding fathers noted that our people should never be led without your word. But as you blessed us, we eventually became prideful in our success, believing that it was by our own hands that our nation was elevated and that you owed us blessing and protection. In time, a generation rose, Lord, that became callous to you, and we chose our own prideful logic above your truth, abandoning you in our schools and ignoring you in our courts. Yet you showed patience and mercy and called out, "Return to me, America, return to me." Instead, we embraced our sin, claiming that we were Lord over ourselves. We abandoned you by giving credit to the creation of our world to astronomical chance and began throwing you and your moral boundaries out for our selfish pleasure. We've oversaturated our hearts and minds on immoral entertainment until our consciences are seared. When we've begun shedding the innocent blood of the unborn who were an inconvenience to our lives, wickedness. Lord, we call slavery wickedness. It's devaluing your human life for our convenience. How can we not call abortion the same thing? Devaluing human life for our convenience. It is the same wickedness. And Lord, yet you keep calling repent, America, repent and return to me. But we responded that we've done no wrong. We justify our sin as our right and liberty. And so we have chased money, physical pleasure, and the belief that we are entitled to what we do not deserve. Lord, what you call wicked, we call good. And we've now begun persecuting those that proclaim your truth. You've sent warnings, allowing breaches in our security and instability in our economy. You've allowed drought to begin touching our land and civil unrest in our cities. And Lord, even the people who claim to still acknowledge you, we've become apathetic, Lord. We're complacent. We're comfortable. Our worship has been lukewarm and our prayers passionless. We shake our heads in shame as our nation weakens around us. Instead of repenting of our apathy and inaction, where are the people of God? Where are those that still cry out to you with broken and contrite hearts? Lord, we deserve judgment. We deserve your wrath, for we have sinned and sinned greatly. And we know your judgment starts in the house of God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and our hypocrisy is as a cancer in our land. But we cry out to you, Lord. We have nowhere else to look but you. There is no other answer. Man cannot redeem us. So remember your mercy. Remember your compassion. And break our hearts, O God. Help us to love what you love and hate what you hate. Give us the courage to call sin what it is and to define our lives by your truth. Remind us of your love for us. Call us to repentance. And may every heart that knows you as Lord seek you this day. May we grieve over sin this day that you might show us mercy and forgiveness. Lord, for those that heed your words and repent with open hearts, restore us to you. Unify those that love you. Raise up a generation that seeks you and worships you with their whole heart. Raise up a generation that is not ashamed of the gospel and hates to be lukewarm. Grant them faith, love, and courage to live according to your word, to pray with power and to act with conviction. Raise up leaders, Lord, who will not compromise when under pressure or abandon you for the approval of men. Raise them up, Lord, that they may call upon your name and you will answer, that they will confess Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. Break up the hard soil of our hearts, Lord, that you may take joy in our worship again and bless us. Call us to holiness that we would once again be the light of the world and draw all men to you. Awaken us, Lord, rekindle our fire and stir our hearts. We confess our sins and we seek your face. So forgive us, Lord, that we can again proclaim, great is thy faithfulness. We ask for your forgiveness and cleansing. We pray against those who reject your truth, turn their hearts to you or confound their logic. But don't let wickedness take our land. Don't let them succeed, Lord. Stand in their way. For America is yours. It was founded for you, dedicated to you. And like Israel, may she remain undivided and in your care. Keep our bonds strong with Israel, Lord, and our leaders loyal, or remove them from office. May your kingdom come and your will be done. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Whoa, Alex issued a sober warning to God's people, reminding us the judgment of the Lord will start in his house. This is not the time for apathy or resignation on the part of believers. The only hope for America is God, and Alex reminds us we need to pray with power and with conviction. That was the second of two speakers from the 2015 National Day of Prayer here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And if you'd like more information or to hear these speeches by Senate Chaplain Barry Black or movie producer Alex Kendrick, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.